what it was. My primary question that I wanted to get to was how she would encourage Māori to be vaccinated. So I just want to get that for a point of clarification. And we are, we've sorted out our little technical difficulties. As I understand it, from the Cook Islands via, from Taranaki. Ah, I thought he was in the Cook Islands via Mahia. Derek Fox. Tēnā koe, Derek.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. So you're back in Aotearoa or you're over in the Cooks at the moment?
I'm actually in the Cooks at the moment.
Yeah, thought so. Thought so, Huxa. Just in terms of, look, there would be very few people that have been involved in Māori media as long as you have and been involved in the complexities, also involved in grassroots politics. Give us your, from the Cook Islands, give us your reflection on what occurred yesterday. Many, including myself, are talking about the appropriation of American-style politics in terms of Māori causes. Give us your reflections or your views on this, Derek.
Well, I wasn't impressed. I was probably appalled, and it was interesting. I think one of the things that struck me was that the Prime Minister said that these people didn't have a huge support, and I think she's mostly right, and that there are, you know, what were there, 5,000, they say, in the march in Wellington?
5,000. They'll say, well, 10. They'll say 10. Let's give them 10, but certainly not as many as the Climate Action March or the Foreshore and Seabed Act March. Certainly not as many as that, but let's give them.
Well, if you look at what, you know, they're saying, I mean, they say they're not anti-vax, that they're pro-choice and all sorts of stuff like that. But in terms of the overwhelming majority of New Zealanders, and it may be getting up towards 90% of adult New Zealanders anyway, have already taken the vaccine or are heading in that direction. And it seemed to me that they were quite a disparate mob, that there were people that were opposed to things, we know that, but they weren't all opposed to exactly the same thing. They were a coalition of disparate groups in some ways. And there were people that, you know, I thought to myself, I saw some of the comments from them, and there's people talking about, you know, they were being denied medical help. Well, none of that's true. And if that's the sort of information that's running through their ranks, then it's just crazy stuff.
Another angle that's caused me concern. I've been following some Māori media people and their own Facebook page, their own Twitter page, and some very brutal, ugly attacks. And one occurred, I won't name the journalist, you and I do know him, based in Rotorua, who was basically called a kuapapa, wasn't even told to watch his back, watch his front, that all sorts of crazy things were going to happen. A Māori avatar, Māori sort of face was put to these comments, did a little bit of digging, it was false. It wasn't the person that they purported to be. In fact, it was a well-known Pākehā white supremacist. This level of anger and bitterness and ugliness, Derek, is it something that you've seen in your time? Could you possibly compare it to the worst days of Muldoon?
Oh, no. Look, I mean, as you know, I spent a few years working in and around Parliament and also just generally. I've been to, you know, heaps of protests and demonstrations and the 1981 Springbok tour, you know, went through all of those sorts of things. And there were a few ugly moments there, but they weren't this type of thing. And here we are. Trump's got a lot to answer for in some respects. And you have where you have Trump-style politics and Trump-style logos and whatnot. I hope that a majority of New Zealanders don't adopt that approach. I really hope they do. But I do know that there are people that you don't have to, you know, there are a lot of people who are pretty disaffected, that there were people who still think that Māori are getting a great deal, and all the evidence shows that's not the case. So it's it was disappointing from that point of view.
Yeah, look, I'm not for a minute trying to align, let's say, ACT and for that matter, the National Party in terms of what occurred yesterday. But you know, there is some synergy, there is some alignment in terms of some of the positions that have been spun nefarious, in my view, nefarious purposes that have been spun for political purposes. For instance, Te Pūpua, being a Māori takeover of our public service, of our education system, where frankly, what it is, it's a whole lot of discussion points. Some of it reasonably mainstream, some of it quite confrontational, but issues that have not been discussed. For instance, a Māori Parliament or a Māori upper house. Do you think that this type of sort of political approach has added fuel to the fire?
Well, I don't know those things. I don't get to follow it, given the distance that I am from the centre. I mean, I read as well as I can and look at things. I guess sometimes parties have to try and find something to hang their hat on and hang their shingle on in order to gain support. And, I understand that. I'm just hoping that it doesn't just become a tearing the country apart approach to it. I think that by and large, developments, people are trying to be fairly moderate in their approach. I mean, and they're saying, well, hang on a minute, there is a case to say that that maybe we need to treat our history a bit better and look at how the country has developed from both points of view, if there are those two different points of view, and to try and come to terms with that. And that's what I think seems to have been happening. And I guess there are some people who don't like that.
Look, Derek, you've been living in the Cook Islands for quite some time, and you've been, you and Joe have been very involved in not only what's happening in the Cook Islands tourism. You run a great restaurant, and I've participated in it, the Coastal Kitchen. But also, you're very involved in activities, for instance, on Anzac Day, and of course tomorrow, Armistice Day. How's Armistice Day? How will it be commemorated in the Cook Islands, and what is sort of your memories of it, and how do we keep that alive? How do we keep our memories alive and honour the people that went off to the war and in terms of the Great War?
Well, I can tell you that the Cook Islands, as far as we know, probably suffered, in terms of combat, one or maybe two casualties in World War One. But Armistice Day will be celebrated or commemorated here on the at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, and there is a thriving RSA here, and there were soldiers who went off from here. They didn't necessarily end up where they wanted to, and have to feel sorry for them because they went off. At one stage, they ended up in France in winter, and of course the weather was just ghastly, and they all went down with the flu and all sorts of other respiratory sort of problems. So they were withdrawn from Europe, where it was so cold and they were so unused to living in those conditions, and they were sent to the Middle East, where they ended up working as things like ammunition bearers and so on, and acquitted themselves well in that regard. But it was difficult. I mean, if you think about it, back in 1918, some of our people were in New Zealand were relatively raw, and it hadn't long come away from where there had been battles between Māori troops and colonial troops. Well, these guys had it even worse, and many of them, when they went off to train in Auckland, they'd never worn boots before, so they were suffering from that. They were used to living on fresh produce like fresh fish and fresh fruit and vegetables, and they ended up on bully beef, and that was tough on them. That really affected them. And they also their own languages, and people say Cook Island Māori. There are a number of versions of Cook Island Māori. Most of the islands have a brand of their own language. Sure, they have a dominant one, which is the Rarotongan. But back then, there wasn't a lot of English spoken. And so when you had sergeants and sergeant majors yelling at you in English, in a language that you weren't that familiar with, it was pretty daunting.
And just to comprehend, Derek, that, you know, you'd be a young boy of 18, and you would have your grandfather, your father, if not your grandfather, would have participated in the land wars. But just going from Mahi or Motueka or Takao or Murupara or to Egypt, you know, and to other far flung places.
Well, they had people that volunteered from here,
yes,
who went for King and Country, yes, or Queen Victoria, mm, as it was then, mm, and they went away. They volunteered, and they still had traditional leaders who would put together a group of people from this island or that island, and they went down to New Zealand. A lot of them didn't make it medically, for various reasons. They were not found to be fit for combat, but a heap of them did get selected and went off to the First World War. Mm. And they also went to the Second World War. And there are people here who have served in the armed forces of New Zealand ever since those times, where there are families. You know, there's one particular family that we know, the Wichman family. All their sons,
that's right, all their
have
sons
served in the military.
Yes.
And so they, have made a major contribution to New Zealand in that regard.
And the bird whānau from Whakatāna, from Murupara, 1901,
yep,
Second World War.
Yep.
Three sons didn't return home.
Yep.
You know, the only one that returned home was old Matua Henare. That was a whole generation almost wiped out.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there was a family from Waimatatini that there was only one son that came back, and the rest, two or three of them died and were killed. And so there has been a major service from Māori, whether they be New Zealand Māori or Cook Island Māori.
Hey,
and Niueans and Samoans.
Tokelauans, yeah, even Tokelau. Poor little Tokelau. Hey, Derek, last time, you're a busy man. You like to keep yourself busy. And last time I saw you was at a travel expo in Tamaki Makaurau here, and you were representing your interest in coastal kitchen and also travel in the Cook Islands. And I'm pleased to say that Air New Zealand come to the party. I don't work for them. This is an advert. Come to the party, and I purchased the tickets and they put them on hold for me, and hopefully I can do the same with my accommodation. But it looks like it's quite possibly that the Rarotonga, the Cook Islands, are the only place we're going to be able to visit anytime soon. Are you looking forward to it? Are you apprehensive? Will you manage? Are you worried about COVID? All of those things, Derek.
You have at least to be mindful of those things.
Yes.
And but you see the... Under the rules, people would have to be double vaccinated before they could come here. And that's going to make it hard because, at the moment, under 12-year-olds are not vaccinated. So there will be some families that, at least in the initial period, they might not be able to come because they have children,
yes,
who are younger than 12. But it's also hard for Cook Islanders who go to New Zealand,
yes,
for various reasons. And for them coming back with their children under 12. And, we have a boy who is in that age group. And we were planning to go to New Zealand. It's quite tricky for when he comes back. He will have to be isolated. Or possibly isolated.
It's not too
for
tough.
5 days.
Yeah, it's not too tough a life on Derek. I saw him sunning himself in Aitutaki. I'd swap Tommy Kimakoto for Aitutaki any day. But Derek, what are the vaccination rights? What are the vaccination rates like in Cook Islands? And is there an anti-vax sentiment at all?
Oh yes, there are people who are opposed to vaccines here, but they're very small in number, yes. And also more than 90% of eligible people have been vaccinated, and that's from that includes 12 years and over. More than 90% of the Cook Islands resident population have been double vaccinated.
Hey, Derek, lovely talking to you. I know that time is marching on in Rarotonga, the Cook Islands. Always wonderful to talk to you. Very insightful. And as I said in my introduction to you, there would be very few people, although my brother Peter Maitai might disagree. But it's 10 o'clock, Derek. He's been asleep.
He'd disagree anyway, yeah. Wouldn't but he? It's 10, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it's 10 o'clock. He's been asleep since 7. But anyway, Derek, wonderful having you on the line today, and very insightful kōrero, not only in terms of what's happening here in Aotearoa, but your reflections of what's happening in the Cook Islands, Rarotonga.